Whether it's a midweek game on the continent or a big weekend clash, cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Download the app today. Use code MIB for a first deposit match of up to $100. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalogue. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with highly anticipated new releases. I'm currently listening to The Secret Hours by Mick Herron. That's the standalone prequel to the majestic Slow Horses television series. I can't stop listening. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. That's audible.com/courage or text courage to 500 500. You're listening to the Men in Blazers Media Network, Suboptimal Radio.
If you want to get to the depth of real reporting, go around the Premier League and ask all of the Premier League managers, do you play the looky-likey game? And if they give you a boring answer, we'll drive down and we'll slap them with a wet fish.
Welcome to a Men in Blazers pod special. It's me, Rog, and I'm away in Europe filming this week. But rather than give you, dear listener, a well-earned week off, we have decided to make it Champions Week by re-airing a series of beautiful conversations with past guests who are undisputed winners in their respective sports, winners in life. And we begin on this 5th of July with a truly great American, recently crowned NBA champion, Golden State Warriors head coach, Mr. Steve Kerr. It's only his 9th title. A gent who wins NBA trophies like Real Madrid win the Champions League. Although, as a Liverpool fan, Steve won't like me saying that. But I digress. This conversation comes from the fall of 2019 when I travelled to San Francisco to interview Steve in person. I'd long admired him as a player, as an analyst, and as a coach. But it was a human being that I encountered during this conversation that absolutely blew me away. The candour with which he spoke about his father's murder at the hands of terrorists, the lessons he learnt from playing with Michael Jordan, and what he thinks football could teach basketball players. He's a study in so many values that I cherish, and he really leaned into this conversation, which is why it remains one of my favourite interviews we've ever done. So here it is, my conversation with the best Chicago Bull all time, not named Luke Longley. It's Mr. Steve Kerr. My guest today, the greatest basketball star ever, born in Beirut, Lebanon. Sorry, Ronnie Cycli, you're still the king of Miami, bro. When you look at the arc of his journey, it is long and it bends towards winning, which helps explain in part why his beloved Liverpool Football Club champions of Europe. We welcome to Men in Blazers the player with the highest three-point percentage in the history of the NBA, current head coach of the Golden State Warriors, leader of Dub Nation, the one and only Mr. Steve Kerr.
Raj, if they ever fire you, would you be my PR?
I'll be your hype, man.
Okay, Steve, let's do it. We could do great things together.
Oh, Steve, you've already done great things. My things, please God, are in the future. We both arrived in Chicago the very same week, back in September 1993. Slightly different trajectories. Me, as someone overstaying his tourist visa. You, to replace John Paxson as a guard on the dynastic defending champion Chicago Bulls. Watching you made me believe anything is possible, mostly because you come from such unusual DNA for a professional athlete. Academic stock, your late father, a professor, your mum ran the Fulbright program at UCLA, your siblings tended towards academia. Indeed, you mastered basketball in vicious rivalry battles with your brother John, 5 years older than you. When you were 8, 9, 10 years old, you had an almost uncontrollable, livid temper.
Yes. Oh, I was a disaster. I was a complete mess. I had this burning need to win that was beyond normal and very unhealthy. I would cry, I would throw a huge fit, I would embarrass my family. I'm talking about in an Easter egg hunt. No, seriously. We have the family Easter egg hunt. There's 20 people searching for eggs, and there's one golden egg. I'm not talking about just a basketball game.
Dominate!
I had to win.
You were, by all accounts, lightly recruited by colleges. Your late father had to call up Arizona just to find out if they were serious about the place for you. During your freshman year, your father, Malcolm Kerr, president of the American University of Beirut, was assassinated by members of the Shia Lebanese militia, aged just 52. Your life was changed forever. You've said of the loss and the subsequent trauma, it made me understand the pain that others experience. It made me realize that millions of people go through these things. This opens your eyes. By being exposed to the fragility of life in the darkest of ways, was that the root of your empathy and compassion that's come later?
Until you go through the death of a family member, I don't think you can truly understand grief and pain. You can read about it, but when it happens to you and you understand just how crushing and devastating and life-altering it is, now it changes everything. Every time you pick up a newspaper and you see 8 people killed in bombing in Iraq, if you haven't experienced grief, that's a number, it's a story, you turn the page. For me, that's 8 families devastated, crushed, lives changed forever. You feel it, you never forget it.
You played through the pain. 2 days after your father's death, you came off the bench to hit 5 of 7 shots from the field, lead Arizona to an upset victory over rival Arizona State. What was happening inside of you? Because this is the embodiment to me of the biblical quote, out of darkness cometh light.
After my dad died, I was in a state of shock, just like my whole family was. And the only outlet I had was to go to practice and play basketball, because it was the only chance I had to lose myself in something and forget about the pain. It wasn't like I was thinking, oh, this is this heroic moment. It was just the easiest thing for me to do was to play basketball. You're just crushed physically, emotionally, spiritually. And for me, playing any sport was always what opened up my world. It made me feel good. And so that's all I was thinking was I just wanted to feel good.
You left college with skills sharpened, a national reputation, and the tenacity, empathy, and courage that you took with you into the pro game. You became a self-described journeyman, playing on 3 teams in 5 seasons before you forced your way to Chicago, a Bulls team which ultimately became Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Ron Harper, that cult hero Luke Longley.
Luke Longley days, the Judd Bushler era, that's how I refer to it.
You've said at the time, playing with Jordan, the exposure of those big games changes your profile, your reputation. What was the biggest life lesson you took from those ring-filled years?
If I hadn't gone to the Bulls, I would have just been another player who made the NBA, which I would have been thrilled with. I didn't even think that was possible. But going to the Bulls put the spotlight on me and our entire team. And then it put us in these positions to play games of importance. And when you play games of importance, you find yourself tested like you've never been tested before. That's where I really learned lessons. And the thing that I took from Michael Jordan was that you go for it every time, every play. You never, ever worry about failure. And I had worried about failure my whole life. I didn't want to be the guy at the end who missed the shot. And so up until my time with the Bulls, I was afraid of being that guy. And then I realized Michael took all these big shots and he missed half of them. And I would see him go for it and miss, and he'd go into the locker room and it was no big deal. He wasn't fazed. And the next game, 2 nights later, he'd take the same shot. And that made an impact on me. I realized I had to get over my fear of failure and just go for it and lay it out there.
As great as that Bulls run was, you've not made it your everything. It doesn't define you, Steve Kerr. You moved on to the San Antonio Spurs. More NBA titles ensued. By the time you finished your pro career, you'd played in nearly 1,000 games. And I love this stat. You started only, do you know how many?
Less than 20.
Much more than that, 30. You started 30 games.
30.
Yet you won 5 titles. No player to me better symbolizes the power of the collective and accepting your role within a system and being able to deliver the moment that you're called upon. To be able to do that, you almost have to understand your own role, and you can only know that by putting yourself in other shoes, understanding the roles of those around you. One of your father's essays that I love began with him writing that the truly civilized man is marked by empathy. He said, put yourself in someone else's shoes and look at it from a bigger perspective. We live in this complex world of grey areas. Life is so much easier if it could be black and white, good and evil. I love that. How has that guided your life on and off the court? Because when I read that, I do think about it.
That's a quote that I had not seen until maybe 5 years ago now. Something my dad had written 40 years ago. And it's exactly the way I feel about life. I think the root of my empathy came through my family. I was born in Lebanon, and though I was raised mostly in Los Angeles, we traveled quite a bit in the Middle East. So I lived in Cairo, Egypt for 3 years, lived in France for a year, Tunisia in Northern Africa for a summer. And at a very young age, I was exposed to so many cultures and so many different people. And I saw the poorest of the poor in Cairo. It's a place called the City of the Dead. There's over 1 million people living in a cemetery. Literally, those are their homes. To see it at a young age, that will teach you empathy. That will teach you perspective. So I was really blessed to live this childhood of seeing the world and having a family who really, really talked openly about perspective and worldview and how lucky we all were. I talk about empathy and compassion with our team all the time, and those are not qualities that you would expect in a professional athletic team or competition. You always think only the strong survive. You got to beat the hell out of the other guy. I think there's great power in empathy. There's great power in compassion. And there's a place for those things in professional sports.
Destroying the other guy, that's just for Easter egg races. You know what feels even better than correctly predicting the outcome of a football game? Winning up to 100 times your cash while doing it. Cash in with your soccer knowledge on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, an enormous selection of players and stat types. That's what makes Prize Picks America's number one fantasy sports app. We love easy gameplay here at Men in Blazers. Just love it. Easy gameplay. Prize Picks offers weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments of the sports season. Look, for Everton fans, it's not been the easiest campaign, although it hasn't been the worst either yet. But one way to make those Sean Dyche-induced draws more exciting, Prize Picks. Love smashing more on Jordan Pickford saves, less on Michael Keane passes completed, and much, much less on Beto goal contributions. Oh, it allows me to feel good about feeling bad. Download the app today and use code MIB for a first deposit match up to $100. That's promo code MIB. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. It's Rog here to tell you about a product that I simply adore. It's been a long time staple in the Bennett refrigerator, Stoke Cold Brew Coffee. Always bold, always smooth. Yes, that is the very same Stoke as in the mighty Wrexham Fortress, known as the Stoke Kairas or the Stoke Racecourse, Wrexham AFC's home. They support it. They support football, which is just one great reason to love this coffee. It is my go-to enjoy during the football calendar, essentially the opposite of Everton. And you can check out their full lineup of 48 ounce cold brew products, something for everybody, from light to dark roast to seasonal favorites in a refrigerated multi-serve format. I tell you this as someone whose blood type is now officially Stoke Espresso Blend. Have the coffee house experience in the comfort of your own home and do it now. Stoke Cold Brew Coffee, and be sure to follow Wrexham AFC. Big love to all at Stoke. Courage. You retired as a player in 2003, became a broadcaster, then general manager for the Suns, turned coach with the Golden State Warriors in 2014. Your coaching career, it's almost Pep Guardiola-like in the level of players that you have at your disposal here and the winning record that's ensued. But here's what I need to know. Legendary Italian football manager Trapattoni, one of the most successful club coaches ever, he says a good manager makes a team 10% better and a bad manager can make it 30% worse. How would you handicap those percentages?
That's a great quote. I agree with the first part. I think a great coach can take a team up a level. There's something beyond what plays you run, what defense you're in. When you watch sports, when you have a team that you follow and they have a wonderful season, there's a magic that happens, right? Am I right? Do you feel that?
I'm dead inside, but even I feel that magic.
You've never felt it with Everton?
Oh, no, to be honest.
I've felt it the last 5 years with this team. I felt it with the Bulls. I felt it with the Spurs. There's a magic, and it's hard to quantify it, but something sparks. And I think it's the coach's job to help find that spark. That's where that 10-20% comes. And that's where now it's a beautiful, organic feeling. That's when the people come to the arena thinking they're seeing world-class art. They're seeing something that's moving, that is touching and gives them chills. That's what we've seen for the last 5 years. And I have chills right now thinking about it. Our fans and how joyous they've been watching these guys play together. It's amazing.
I love what you say about the role fun plays on the team. You've said you try and, quote, keep things light. But how do you do that? Because NBA basketball coach is one of those high-pressure professions. And it's like saying to the guy with the nuclear code, just keep things light.
Everything that you do, first of all, has to be authentic to your own personality. So I can't claim to be Phil Jackson. I can't walk into our locker room and say, we're going to burn incense today to rid ourselves of this evil spirit that has entered our realm here the last week.
You don't do the Tibetan bells.
I don't do the Tibetan bells. Phil did those things, and it was authentic and genuine, and you felt it, and you bought it, you went with it. I have to be myself.
You've seen fire as a coach, 3 championships. You've seen rain, the sporting darkness of the 3-1 finals collapse. Do you experience many sleepless nights as a coach? Do you sleep well, Steve Kerr?
I sleep well, yeah.
You look good.
Thank you. There's a peace that exists when you know you've done everything possible. There are absolutely plenty of bad decisions that I've made that have kept me up at night. But in general, I've been true to my values, my principles, and I'm happy with the way I've tried to teach our group. And I sleep well at night.
I'm asking for a friend. What do you do with self-doubt, Steve Kerr?
We all experience self-doubt.
I'm 97% self-doubt, Steve.
That's all.
It's what you do with that 3% that matters.
I think vulnerability is a strength. So you have to know what you're talking about, right?
You're in trouble on
that front. But if I can walk into that locker room and know, the players know that I understand what I'm talking about. It's fine. In fact, it's a point of strength for me to go in and say, what do you guys think? Maybe what I'm asking you to do is wrong. Maybe we're better off doing something else. And then Draymond Green says, you know what? Let's do it this way instead. It might be a little more colorful than that, but you know, he says, forget that scheme. I don't think that's going to work. Let's do this. Yes, let's do it that way. If you're watching, you can view that two ways. Is that weakness? Because you're the coach, you're supposed to have all the answers. Who the hell has all the answers? Do you, Raj?
Mike Tirico.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Another reason I revere you, Steve Kerr, your growing love for the thing I love the most outside of my family, and that is Premier League football. What are the roots of your love, Steve? Were you exposed to football while in Egypt, the time you spent there during your youth?
I played football on the Condors when I was 11 years old.
The mighty Condors.
The mighty Condors.
Yeah, what kind of a player was Steve Kerr?
I was okay. You know, I understood the game. When I was in Egypt, I played quite a bit because people would play all the time. I'd see Egyptian kids on the street, 2 rocks, a ball that was made out of string and cloth, and 3-on-3, 2-on-2. I'd see it everywhere. And in fact, I remember the American students in my class challenged the Egyptian students. We got our ass kicked. It's a horrible idea.
Don't get cocky, kid.
We got crushed. So I enjoyed it as a kid. What I really like about it now, it's so like basketball. Players who played soccer growing up, they're better passers. Steve Nash, unbelievable passer. Tony Kukoc was a beautiful passer. I would watch Tony come into practice. He'd kick the ball around and he'd juggle on his knees and rest the ball on the back of his neck, and he loved it. And there's no question in my mind that he was influenced by football. They understand the concept of triangles. They understand the concept of passing the ball and cutting behind the man defending you, right? That's what football is, finding angles, creating opportunities, creating scoring chances.
When you talk about the joy of triangles, I'm thinking Phil Jackson might just be the man we need to lead US soccer into the next World Cup.
If I were the czar of American basketball and I had to say, all right, I'm in charge of youth basketball in America, I would make every player coming through the youth basketball program play football because it translates directly. And the problem in basketball today, the young players are coming up and they just try to beat everyone one-on-one with a dribble. They're unbelievably gifted dribbling the ball, but they don't understand the pass and the move, right? Which is what football would teach them.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used. Because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
I believe, and as an Everton fan, Steve, this pains me, that you realise you needed a team to support. Tell me who you chose, Steve, and why.
I chose Liverpool. I'm sorry. It had everything to do with Mo Salah and his Egyptian roots. I have a soft spot for Egypt. It's a wonderful country. That's my guy. Liverpool's my team.
You tweeted Liverpool's anthem of "You'll Never Walk Alone" after the red stunning 4-0 win against Spanish giants Barcelona in the Champions League semi-final. Where did you watch the game? Take me there. How did you experience it?
Well, we were on the airplane coming back from Houston. We were in the NBA playoffs, and we were tied with Houston 2-2. And we had a long flight home, and we got the game on TV on the plane. And we have four or five Premier League football fans.
Draymond Green, massive fan.
Jaron Collins and Ron Adams on the coaching staff are fans. I'm going in thinking, no chance, but I'm going to watch. You know, they have to win by four against one of the great teams ever. And so when it was 1-0, see, I know how to say 1-0.
Dropping knowledge.
So it's 1-0 at half. I'm thinking, okay, if they could get a quick one, now it gets interesting, right? And they got that quick one. So now all of a sudden, we're all crowded around the computer. And what ensued over the next 40 minutes was one of the great sporting events I have ever watched in my life. It was incredible.
What do you see when you see Jürgen? You've talked openly about your admiration for him, about his approach to the sport, about the mentality that he brings. You've quoted him in your own press conferences. What do you see when you watch him? Because he's all human emotion.
Yes.
You admire him, but you're more of a Pep. You're more of the control guy rather than the let it all out. Emotion leads the way.
I lose my mind about three times a year, but for the most part, I'm pretty calm.
That's just the first 5 minutes for you.
Jürgen seems very passionate. What I like is that he also seems to enjoy it. It's not just that he's a madman. He's laughing and smiling and fist pumping. And I love the concept of joy in sports. It's one of the most important values to me and the Warriors. Steph Curry, you watch him play, there's so much joy. It's a powerful emotion, a powerful factor for a great team of any sport. Joy, enjoying what you're doing and the joy of just feeling young and free and playing.
I interviewed Klopp a couple of months ago. I asked him if winning is everything. And he said to me,
if life would be judged at the end, when we stand in front of that door and somebody would ask you, did you win something or not? That would be really strange, I would say. So it's about, did you try everything to improve the place you've been in, the house you've lived in, to improve the mood, the love, whatever? Did you try that? Yes, I tried it a lot. I tried it every day. Okay, come in.
Listening to that and listening to you today, you have a similar life philosophy.
Absolutely. When you win a championship, it's an amazing feeling. But, you know, after you celebrate, that night and the next night, and you have a parade. You go back to your life, and you're still waking up in the morning and taking care of your family and going about your business and doing your chores. And it's not like life just becomes this easy thing. Nothing ends. You're constantly moving forward. And you realize that what's important is the feeling and the relationships that you have with the players that you've created, and those last a lifetime, and that's important, and you want those to continue throughout your life.
When you say that, Steve, I think it's something that your former coach, Spurs icon Greg Popovich, once said about why he kept you on the squad. Even when your minutes were declining as a player in 2003, he said, "Life is too short to be with jerks. This is a business. And it's not the most important thing in the world." So what is the most important thing in the world, Steve? Tell us the secret.
What brings me happiness and joy is my family and my work and enjoying the whole process each day. I'm going to tell you a quick story. 2 years ago, our team went to China, the Warriors, and Roger Federer was in town. He was playing in the Shanghai Masters tennis tournament. So we invited him in. He graciously accepted. He comes in. Our players are asking him questions. Draymond Green says, "After 20 years on the tour, you're still winning majors. How do you do it?" And his answer was so simple and yet profound. He said, "I wake up every morning and I take my kids to school. First, I have breakfast with them. And then I drop them off at school. And then I go to the tennis court and I practice for about 2 hours. And I come home and I have lunch. I don't have this crazy diet where I have to eat everything precisely, but I eat well and I do the right things in my training sessions. And then I go home, and when the kids get home, we hang out and we have dinner together and I help them with their homework. And when I lay my head on the pillow every night, I just think, what a great day." And that was it. So I ask you, what more is there than the satisfaction of family and work and enjoying everything together and putting in a day's work and putting your head on the pillow and sleeping well?
Something your dad used to say. He used to say to you, "Steve, you're a modest fellow
with plenty to be modest about."
And you said about that wisdom that he was kidding, but he was also serious. And there's a message there, Steve. Be passionate, be productive, be modest. How often in your day-to-day life do you hearken back to that?
Ironically, it's a message that Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich would give me in their own words. In Phil's words, it was treat every practice, every play, as if the fate of the world rests upon your effort, with full awareness that this is a freaking basketball game and nobody cares. Right? I mean, there's some real wisdom in there. Greg Popovich, very similar ethos. Perspective matters. We come in here and we compete together, and we do something together, and we enjoy each other's company, and we have this greater good and this goal. The journey is amazing, but it's basketball. So don't take yourself too seriously. Get over yourself. That's Greg Popovich's favorite phrase, and I love that. Get over yourself. That's exactly what my dad was saying. You're a modest fellow with plenty to be modest about. Get over yourself.
Words to live by that transcend sports. Steve Kerr. Oh, I know I feel better.
So do I.
We wish you courage.
Thank you.
Hey, Prime members. You can listen to Men in Blazers ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit.
You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba.
And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights.
You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love.
Because you're the long-distance lovebirds.
It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member.
If you travel, you know.
Takeoff 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.